tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 115 of the Toonami Escape Podcast. I'm Greg Zeno. Tonight we have B-Dubs.
Hey.
C. Kohler.
Hey, guys.
And Reggie Ruler.
What is up?
It's been a while. How long exactly has it been?
Maybe 2 years ago I was last on.
I feel like I would go a year and a half.
Yeah, time's a little fluid for me. I don't know. I don't count anymore.
Time is extremely fluid to me. I was 22 yesterday, and now I'm 25.
Wait, Jesus Christ, you've been going that long?
Let's see. When we started this in 2016.
Wow. Fucking old.
I don't remember.
Yeah, no, we've been going for a while. Like, I remember talking about Space Dandy on the podcast before.
We were never on Space Dandy when we were up.
I'm pretty sure, like, we caught one of the last episodes.
Whoa, holy shit. What was that?
There's a humongous thunderstorm over Queens right now. It's, like, fucking nuts.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well, stay safe. Anyway.
Well, yeah, I should be okay. If I lose signal, it's because I died being hit by lightning.
When you lose signal, I literally am going to assume that you died.
Yeah, just hit F for, you know, to pay your respects.
Anyway, yeah, there's no... Because Space Dandy was... that was the beginning of 2014 that it started. Because it started January 2014.
I could have sworn we hit the last episode or two.
You might be thinking of when they did the first rerun.
Oh, you're right. We talked about the first rerun a little bit. Yeah. Okay.
In fact, Space Dandy was so long ago, our first awards that we did, Space Dandy was the year before that. It wasn't even eligible for any of those, so.
Yeah, I mean, geez, this was a long-ass time.
Yep. Anyway, let's talk about some news, which is the block's moving around again.
10 p.m.
Yep, that's correct. We got 10.
And MHA got moved up.
Yes. Let's see. I'm looking.
I'm sure Metatron posted it somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's in there.
It was Seda, I think, who posted. Yep, here it is. So, on the 18th of August, when Diamond is a Breakable and Attack on Titan premiere, My Hero Academia takes over the leadoff spot at 10 o'clock from Dragon Ball Super. Which is insane, because I feel like Dragon Ball has never been, like, the only times it's been, like, behind something is when something was premiering new at an earlier time slot.
Like when Jack was premiering or something.
Yeah. Or, like, an earlier season of Attack on Titan.
Yeah. I think, like I said, it's probably likely because they know for sure that when the next season of MHA comes, they can just segue into it, whereas we don't know when Super is going to continue.
Yeah.
I also think, too, it's just the show's popular.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just didn't think it would be popular enough to put it above, you know,
Dragon Ball.
Yeah, especially lately, because, I mean, goddamn, we had to, like, start cutting, locking Dragon Ball threads, because there were just 12 of them on the front page all the fucking time.
Goku and Smash.
Oh God! Have fun tomorrow, B Dubs.
Oh, they're definitely gonna announce Goku and Smash tomorrow.
No, they're not.
Smash. Yeah, no, it is actually Negan. I've heard. Like Neeble got a hold of the, video for the direct, and he posted it to his Twitter, and it's Negan.
Yep. Anyway. Dragon Ball Super is at 10:30. Attack on Titan comes in at 11, so Fooly Cooly is getting bumped down a bit. I guess they're just putting on Alternative 4th in the block.
Yeah.
Wait, does Alternative debut with a block change?
Alternative is going to come in on September, because the September 1st airing is going to be a Labor Day marathon.
So it's going to be the 8th that debuts.
Yeah. You'll notice, because the 8... Anyway, I'll get to the 825. Anyway, Pop Team Epic stays in front of Diamond in front of JoJo. I wish they switched faces, but I guess whatever Pop Team Epic's replacement. Well, oh no, they're just gonna. I hope they don't put Boruto in front of JoJo.
Oh, God.
They might.
Well, they might. They don't want it too close to ship it in.
Do we know when Boruto's coming?
September 28th.
Yeah, it's a while.
Yeah.
Sorry, if that's you can hear that phone ring, that's my house phone. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
It's DeMarco. Nope. He's calling to check on us.
Anyway, so Fully Cooly, actually, the rerun actually ends on the 18th. And the next week after that, they're just rerunning an episode of Attack on Titan. So,
yeah.
Anyway, there's your block changes. But seriously, MHA coming for that top spot.
Good job.
So the block is the same JoJo onward?
Pretty much. Yeah, I think so.
Epic onward it is.
It's good stuff. 10 p.m. again.
10 p.m. Just earlier and earlier and earlier. More. Give us more shows.
No, no. Don't make it earlier than 10. Like, I barely get home at 10.
Somebody was mentioning that. They were like, well, just make it all day. And it's like, oh, no. That would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be like, I can't go outside. I can't go out and have fun with my, drinking friends on Saturday if I do that.
It's interesting, too, because, like, I mean, I think they're kind of having like an abundance of riches or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good shows on the block right now.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting too because I remember when they cut the block down so much, they were like relieved because they couldn't, they kept having to do so many reruns and things, and it was like a real hassle to build the block. Mm-hmm. But they keep expanding it now because they keep getting all these like good shows.
Yeah. I think part of it is there's a bunch of like long runners early on, Hunter Hunter, JoJo, Dragon Ball, that, they don't have to constantly be getting like 8 new shows. Like they can just go like, yeah, okay, we just need 2 or 3. And there's usually 2 or 3 decent shows a year.
So even with Boruto replacing Pop Team Epic, then they just add this new slot on that's going to be, replaced soon anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, Hunter Hunter is done within a year, I think. So,
yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I think right now might be one of the most like prosperous times for new Toonami.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It kind of feels like it because there's just all these really big name shows that are premiering on the block, several of them that are dub premieres.
And they're all really good so far.
Yeah.
Black Clover will finally be out of our hair, basically. Late this year, early next.
Oh, thank God. I mean, that and Shippuden are basically the only two black spots on the block at this point.
Well, 2024.
Speaking of dub premieres, it's kind of crazy how old MHA is compared to the rest of the block, yet it's being pushed to the front.
People just got to get some of that MHA, I guess.
Well, I've been enjoying it, so...
I mean, I like it well enough.
Well, don't worry, because Season 2 is coming, and Season 2 is way better. Anyway, shall we talk about the block?
Okay.
Dragon Ball Super Episode 74, For My Beloved Ones, The Indomitable Great Saiyaman. In this episode, Jaco immediately realizes that he sucks.
Yeah, because it's funny, like, he tries to shit-talk other people, but then the people he shit-talks are the ones that save his ass constantly.
And then even they solve all of his problems, and then he still messes it up again by the end of the episode.
Yeah, I get that. God. I think that's his stick. Like, every time he appeared in old manga, that was probably the joke.
Yeah, like he'd fuck something up and someone would have to fix it.
Yeah.
Was he manga only originally? Did he ever appear in the Dragon Ball anime?
No, he had like a one-shot with Bulma's sister. Or it was like a one-volume thing.
Space Police something. But that
it was like a Toriyama manga that was separate from Dragon Ball.
Right. But then they sort of revealed that, oh, it's actually Bulma's sister.
Oh, like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the other character
yeah.
was actually related to Bulma.
And like, it wasn't, the manga wasn't initially like tied into Dragon Ball, but then they were like, okay, you got us, it's Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
He's doing like a, one of those like, all of my films are in the same universe thing.
Yeah. Like M. Night Shyamalan or whatever.
Right.
The Happening somehow leads to Last Airbender. Somehow.
It makes perfect sense.
I wanted to make that joke, but I couldn't remember any movie he made besides The Last Airbender.
Who directed The Dark Knight?
The Dark Knight?
Nolan.
Nolan. I think apparently Nolan is that way. Like, he tries to tie all his movies together.
Really? I don't think so.
They heard that somewhere. Yeah.
Well, hey, Dunkirk's in the past and Interstellar's in the future, so it's not impossible.
Yeah. I mean, Interstellar was like way in the future, so, you know, it could be same universe as Batman.
Well, not way in the future enough that there's still not like dust bowls in the Midwest, but
yeah,
and everyone's not just living in the same abandoned farmhouses you can see right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like 20, 30 years still, but you know.
That's nothing. We won't even have self-driving cars by then.
It might be more than that. I don't know.
Well, just we need to invent Capsule Corp and we'll get that solved.
But what will be different in 20 to 30 years is that we'll have we'll just carry around our entire car in our pocket.
Yes.
Thanks, Apple. The iCar.
You just saw Ant-Man 2, didn't you?
What? No.
Oh, that was like Ant-Man and the Wasp. They had, you know, basically one of those old Hot Wheels things with the cars in them.
I actually haven't seen that, and I don't think I'll probably get to it in theaters. I'm probably just get it Redbox.
Yeah, I actually saw it today before the giant storm hit, and I'm like, oh, that's actually really good. I like that.
Cool.
I found it strange that it's both like Gohan fan service, while at the same time sort of taking a little bit of a piss still on Gohan, because that's just the thing they do with adult Gohan. But I appreciated how supporting Videl was with him in a very unusual way for anime.
Oh yeah, he's good old Barry is just like, check out these pictures of Gohan kissing this other girl, and she's just like, bullshit.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, we all know Gohan pretty well. Like, do you really think he would be able to do that?
Gohan is not capable of that.
Yeah, seriously.
Mentally, he's not capable of that.
Like, he would have to jump all into the sun if he ever did anything like that.
And so anyway, Barry goes up to the roof and yells about not filling out the suit, and then he's an alien.
Yeah. And then Gohan finally goes Super Saiyan again and just nukes him.
Yeah, Barry turned like Super Saiyan 4.
And then he was beaten by regular old Super Saiyan Gohan. Sad.
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 I mean, who would have thought Gohan could defeat People's Choice Award winning actor Barry?
I'm shocked.
That's the award you want to bring up. The People's Choice Award.
Hey, he won it. That's an award that he's proud to have won. It's the only award he won.
Literally the worst award.
The worst award is the Razzies.
He totally would have introduced himself as Razzie Award winning actor Barry Kahn.
You're right. He probably would have.
The sucky thing about the episode, though, is that in the end, he doesn't really like get punished for all his shit.
I mean, he doesn't learn anything either.
Well, he gets like blackmailed into just being quiet, but
yeah,
he still gets to be. Everybody still thinks he's like the greatest.
Yeah, I mean,
Gohan likes his movies. He wants somebody to keep making them.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to see the Great Saiyan Man movie. He wants his dad to be proud of him.
I
guess getting his ass whooped by Gohan was enough for me, I think.
Yeah, I guess. I this is a minor thing, but like, it always bothers me how characters like Gohan are so like super pure that they can't like change their opinion on something. Because like, yeah, I get it. You used to like this actor and liked his movies and stuff, but like, once you realize he's a dick, it's okay to have your opinion change and not like him anymore.
Yeah.
But Gohan is like, you know, oh, I still like you.
I mean, Gohan's able to separate the actor from the reality, so.
I'll always like your movies, Kevin Spacey, but.
I don't like you.
But I'm going to punch a hole through your face.
I think the big takeaway from this one is Gohan was actually able to go Super Saiyan and not, like, burn out this time. Because, like, the last time he tried was, what was it, in when Frieza showed up, and, you know, he couldn't do it.
I don't think he'd try it explicitly. He really failed going Super Saiyan, because I don't remember anything like that. I know he wasn't able to do anything during that saga, but other than being a beacon for Goku, but I don't remember him failing to go Super Saiyan.
Well, I mean, he kind of did, and then it, you know, burned out after like 3 seconds. It was like the beacon scene.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, who does?
We'll take your word for it, B-Dubs, because we don't remember.
I found it really funny how the animation for the closing segment was pretty much like literally the exact same as the opening for the previous episode. Because Jacko didn't learn shit.
Nope. Nobody ever learns shit. This is Dragon Ball.
Dandy and Meow just drop into the space ramen shop and...
I was totally thinking Space Dandy.
I bet you Jocko appears somewhere in Space Dandy if you look really hard.
I don't think that's possible because he's from Toei.
I know, I'm just... But I mean, like, I wouldn't be
it
surprised.
It would be fun.
He's such like a normal gray alien looking guy.
Yeah.
There's probably somebody that looks like him.
Yeah. And there's probably somebody that looks like him in My Hero Academia. Stumbled through that segue.
That was smooth.
My Hero Academia, episode 13, In Each of Our Hearts. In this episode, Snipe is here, and his superpower is he's just going to shoot you with a gun.
Mm-hmm. What is his superpower? I don't really get it.
Emperor, but better.
He probably is able to be extremely accurate.
Huh.
It looked like he was making the bullet turn corners and stuff, though.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Like, those bullets were clearly not doing regular bullet things. But also, he probably has to be extremely accurate to not, like, hit someone's artery and actually kill them.
Yeah.
Because he's just a dude that shoots people with guns.
So he's the good cowboy archetype that always disarms or whatnot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
he's
wait,
like,
no, he shot, what's-his-face, like, 4 times.
Yeah, he's just, like, all your limbs shot.
I mean, I guess he didn't go for the fatal head wound, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just in time to save
All my
headphones, Absolute Cleavage, and Electro. So, those are the names now.
God. But to finish up with this guy, though, I don't mind, like, a superhero who's, like, a gun-using superhero. It's very strange, but on the other hand, it's kind of like... In a world where everyone has superpowers, that doesn't mean that guns just go away. So,
yeah.
I don't know. There's something about that that's kind of like, why not? You know, I don't know.
It's just so funny. Every time anybody's running around with powers, it's hilarious when someone's just like, check this out, I've got a gun. Anyway, what else was in this episode?
There was a cat cop.
Apparently
and has a cute little bell.
Yeah, apparently the cat cop has like a common dog name. That's the joke. Anyway, this is more like the denouement for the last episode's fight. All Might is like pretending to be still able to go, but he's just like completely fucked, so.
Yeah. I actually couldn't remember this episode. Having seen it before, I couldn't remember, like, what even happens in this episode? It is such a kind of, like, it's not really a climax. The climax was last episode. This was just sort of like...
And the adventure continues!
Yeah, like the meandering end of this season. It's not a bad episode, but it is just sort of there. And, you know, it's just like the wrap-up. It's like, oh, the investigators are here. They're going to try to find out what went on, and everybody's recovering, you know.
And you're put this giant black brain bird in prison. Yeah.
They did capture him. That's right. I kind of forgot that, too. It's like they actually caught that guy.
Because he doesn't do anything. Like, he just sits there and lets them catch him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't do anything but respond to direct orders, I guess.
I also completely forgot that All Might's secret was known by this private investigator guy.
Well, you didn't know that until this episode.
He's like a detective guy.
From having seen it before, though. Like, I did not remember that at all.
He's like the best friend on the police force.
He's basically Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
Only actually trusted.
He also knows about the passing on, too, so.
Really?
Yes. Remember when the All Might was talking about, like, the three people who know that it was, like, a bunch of people at the school know that he has his skeleton form, but he was talking about the three people who know that he passed his power on to Deku, and that's Recovery Girl, the principal, and this guy.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure these guys have been friends since, like, school days, so...
I thought Aizawa knew.
Aizawa does not know.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Aizawa knows what All for One is.
There would not be any credible threat to, like, expel Deku, because All Might would be like, nah. I think it's pretty much only those three who know, and also maybe a fourth guy that we'll get to soon, but...
Wait, if Aizawa didn't know about the transfer, then why did he talk to All Might as if Deku was his favorite? Did he still know that All Might kind of vouched for him?
I think he was just saying that All Might just has a favorite student that he wants to mentor. Not so much directly linked to the fact that he gave him a power.
He noticed that All Might and him have very similar similar powers, and All Might's very bad at hiding the fact that he's really into Deku. Like, the preview for the next episode is just, him just poking out from around the corner. Hey, want to get lunch?
By the way, it looks like, for people who don't know, when Season 2 aired, I read that there was a recap episode, and I don't think we're going to get that.
No, it wasn't a real episode. It was kind of like a 0.5.
Okay.
So we're just going to go right into this. Good. We will probably have to deal with the Season 3 recap episode, though.
Is it combined with actual material?
No, it's combined with, filler, we're at the pool material.
Oh.
You'll know it's a recap because at one point, one teacher is like, hey, Aizawa, just for clarification, can you give me the name and ability of every single person in your class?
I'm pretty sure I'll have forgotten a few of them by then, so that might be helpful.
Yeah. Well, I mean... Look, the dude with the big lips and the yellow costume is so memorable.
Yeah, there's a couple of dudes like that, and the other guy with the mouth on his costume. They haven't really been shown doing anything.
I forget what's squirrel animal tail dude's power is.
He has a tail.
It's apparently he fought a bunch of villains by himself.
He's basically just. A
watchdog man.
Really good martial artist with a fifth limb.
So he's like Watchdog Man?
Yes.
Wait, the One Punch Man character, Watchdog Man?
Yeah.
Just imagine a black belt with another limb and how badly they could fuck you up.
Well, that explains his costume.
Yeah, it does. Anyway, do you want to know where Sparkling Dude was this entire time?
I guess.
It's a secret.
Oh.
No, that's because he literally said that in this episode.
Oh, I forgot that. That guy's kind of forgettable to me. I like certain characters cut him off all the time when he's talking, and that's a recurring joke. It's pretty funny.
Lincoln, you'll miss it. He's always staring directly into the camera in background shots.
I love how nobody realized that Invisible Girl was there, so she was literally at risk of being frozen because he didn't know she was there.
Yeah, he had that little inner monologue. He's like, oh my god, I could have killed her.
Well, that's the risk you go with being totally invisible. Anyway, do you guys want to talk about Pop Team Epic?
Sure.
I'll shake Yano.
Yes!
Pop Team Epic, Episode 6, The 30th Cyber War, is actually about Shogi, for some reason.
All right, I'm going to nominate best character name for billion quadrillion.
Yes, I have another dude with me on this.
That was awesome in a non-ironic way.
Just fucking Heihachi, and his name is Billion Quadrillion. And it's like, the only permanent Strogi Grandmaster. And then he's immediately...
In one move.
He gets beaten in one move.
How does that even work?
Pop team epic.
I'm not sure if that was funnier, or if the first guy losing in no moves was even better.
The first guy. Does literally no moves. I guess it must have been Nen. He looked at her Nen and he was like, nah.
Yeah, this was like preview for the upcoming Hunter x Hunter episode later in the block.
When Popko takes on Miriam and Gungi.
Who actually wins that fight? I guess it has to be Popko because gag characters, right? Anyway. Then they fight this hot lady who turns into dust.
Yep. The queen is quite in a jam, fam.
Were those some of those dialogue Metal Gear references?
No, I think those commentators are supposed to be like a take that at like actual bad shogi commentary practices in Japan. Or like some kind of thing.
It felt like a commentary on like female commentators who like just repeat everything that the male commentator says.
Basically like the dudes is the... expert commentator, and then she's the interviewer, so she doesn't actually know what's going on. And so it's like, I guess that's a big thing in commentary, where it's like, I'm the guy who knows what's going on, and it's like over here, and I'm the guy who doesn't know, and I'm just going to repeat every statement as a question.
Yeah, that's. I think that's the joke.
Anyway, this is all a big send-up to Tikari no Go, which is something I've never seen at all. Like, it's about Go. But I guess that show also has, like, the main character getting helped by a fan. Actually, Pipimi is just she's just the pharaoh in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, all leads up to the fact that, like, she's fighting an AI shogi machine.
Every fight before then was just a complete fake.
Yeah.
It was all for the advancement of shogi!
Can anyone remember anything else from this episode?
I'm trying.
There was the Bob Team Epic segment that pretty much copied the segment from the first episode.
The second?
With the blanket? Third.
Yeah, the blanket.
Like the alarm clock self-destructs itself so she can stay sleeping.
Like this time it's like the tag team of blankie, mattress, soft comfy pillow, and curtains. God damn you guys!
And something about a concert and just something with a sword.
Oh, yeah. Its name is not the thing they said. I guess that's a Tales of reference.
I guess.
Pop Team Epic. I guess that's a blank reference.
Has there been a JoJo reference on it yet?
There were plenty of JoJo references in this episode, I think. Because...
Outside of the stand? Is that like supposed to be a stand?
No, but I think that, like, the final fight up there, they were just basically aura-oring and muda-mudaing each other. There's a more blatant one later on. There was also more Pop Team cooking!
Oh, yes, yeah.
I'm gonna put the sugar in the bowl, tell me when to stop. But I won't stop.
I love the, like, opening for that. It's like, Pop Team cooking!
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
So peppy.
What happened with Girl Drop this week? I forget.
Hoshifumi has to miss a school trip because of a thing, but she's in the same room as Daichi. They can't do that. They're not even engaged yet.
No, that's next week. Do you even pay attention?
God.
In the other Bob Team Epic, Pipimi is too busy thinking about Hellshake Yano.
Oh, the other Bob Epic team was actually kind of funny, where it's just a progression of various sport things with and then Pipimi just ending on a train going home.
Oh yeah. Regional handstand. Regional
losing the competition.
Regional first round exit.
Yeah.
Regional like water ski formation. Huh?
The segment that actually made the most sense out of this whole series so far, which I thought was pretty funny, was the one where she like tells the viewer to subscribe to the channel. And then is like, you, that one person, who didn't do what I told you to. I'm coming to kill you.
And then spoiler alert, like, I did not do it.
Yeah, it just cuts to black, and then a phone rings, and it makes it sound like the phone is in your room.
Or a door knocks.
Nothing wrong.
I think that varied slightly between the first and second half. I can't remember the difference, though.
Yeah, it was the first time it was a phoning ringing, and the second time it was a door knocking. And I was just thinking to myself, they're coming to get you, Zonic.
Oh, shit.
Knock, 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 knock.
How long has it been since a French segment?
Two episodes.
I want another one. Those are pretty good.
Next week is the big one. Hellshake Yano.
Oh, that's a French segment?
No, but it's next week and it's amazing. Anyway, enough of this garbage. Let's talk about JoJo.
The world!
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure of Stardust Crusaders Battle in Egypt, Episode 47, Dio's World, Part 3. In this episode, they got the fucking opening. Yes!
They did it.
Yeah, good job, DeMarco.
You knew that we would yell at you a lot if you didn't, so.
I mean, I won't expect him to do it again. He might.
Yeah.
But, like, the fact that it happened at all at the right time.
Well, it's going to have to happen in Diamond is Unbreakable, too. Spoiler alert. There's another, like, opening gets weirded out by.
Oh, no, stuff. No. I'm sorry. I meant the next episode. He probably won't do it there.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's possible, but I'm not going to bet on it.
They had to cut the ending for it, though.
I don't think the ending was in this episode at all, anyway.
Right, because this was an hour-long thing, apparently.
Yeah, I think originally.
Yeah, it actually went over. It was like 3 or 4 minutes after the hour when the episode ended.
Yeah. I'm just saying that I don't think this episode even had the opening even in the original airing.
You mean the ending? Yeah, it didn't have it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it did, because it's just the way it cuts.
Anyway, this fight is stupid and awesome.
Yep.
Just on the opening, I was actually a little disappointed it didn't immediately cut to the episode when Dio broke it. I was actually a little surprised when it continued as the opening.
No, Dio has to strut his stuff. That's what he does.
Well, I was expecting him to strut his stuff, and then immediately animation would immediately shift to the actual show instead of showing the title.
It'd been interesting, yeah.
But no, we got the Aura, 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 Muda, Muda, Muda battle in the opening, and it's amazing. Anyway, you were probably wondering, how does Jotaro beat the world? The answer is...
bullshit.
He will have the world.
Yes.
Apparently, they're the same stand.
Yeah.
This requires you to basically just be like, okay, I guess when he was moving super fast, he was just stopping time extremely briefly.
It makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, and also, like, you know, Dio has Jonathan's body, so, you know, you can explain it that way.
It's bullshit, but I believe it.
I mean, there's a couple of different ways you can rationalize it, basically.
Less bullshit than vacuum mouth, more bullshit than projectile fingers.
Yes.
Also, these guys can just straight up fly. Both of them can fly.
Yeah, that I found a little more offensive than developing the power to stop time, because that was pretty much necessary to fight Dio. This was, I feel like you could write a way around it outside of having Jotaro just fly.
We didn't want to animate him jumping off of rooftops, okay?
You gotta save money somewhere.
Like, I didn't know you could actually jump with a stand. I thought that stand's like external. I didn't know affect your body like that.
Like, Yeah, I feel like he has jumped with his stand before.
Yeah, I think,
like,
and
he's also used his stand to grab onto a thing that his hand couldn't reach.
I think certain stands can touch things, and maybe some can't. It's a little vague.
Yeah. When it works, it works.
I mean, I think they had like a very brief shot in this episode where they're showing Star Platinum like kicking up into the air to explain how he's flying. But just kind of begs the question, why wasn't he doing that all the time?
He wasn't fighting on roofs.
Why didn't Avdol use his life detection system?
Because I just made it up just now.
Right. Araki, yep. I mean.
Anyway, Jotaro uses a magnet to get one over on Dio and punches him into a jewelry store where he's just like, "You, lady, bring me my leg like a flight attendant would." And it's like, huh?
So on the magnet, how would the magnet even operate in Dio's world? I was,
Dio can move, you know, normally, so he's not affected. And I guess the magnet still, like, you know, whatever. Because Dio had one magnet on him, and Jojo had one magnet on him.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think we're going to have to let this one go. I know where you're coming from, Reggie. It's like, magnetism in general probably should be frozen.
I think that maybe magnets moving something that still requires them to move across a distance through time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like things you have to take for granted in this scenario. He will do things like throw knives and the knives will travel for a while.
And then they'll stop.
It's almost like they have. It takes them a moment to realize, oh, wait, I'm supposed to be a frozen object. And then they stop.
Like, or it takes things like 5 seconds after they leave contact with Dio to be like, I'm not Dio anymore.
Right.
Yeah. The magnet thing might also just be the fact that Jotaro does actually have the world as well.
He was using the magnets to make Dio think it's the magnets, but actually he's just twitching his finger intentionally.
Yeah. Or like, you know, he hadn't quite figured out how to move his body yet, but the magnets sort of forced it to move it while he was under the influence of his own the world.
No, he put the magnets on there himself.
I know. I think the idea was to make Dio think he had the world, which he did, and then be like, oh, wait, he doesn't actually have the world. It's just these magnets, not realizing, oh, wait, those shouldn't work unless he has the world. It was like a double bluff, almost.
Fucking magnets. How do they work?
Who knows?
Water, fire, air, and dirt. Fucking magnets. How do they work?
Anyway, so Dio throws some knives at him, but Jotaro has a library card, so...
Yes. He got some books.
Love it.
That's bullshit, but I believe it.
Yep.
Are you nervous yet, sweetheart?
God, he's such a...
What a weird thing to say.
What a moron. Anyway, Dio is able to get him with some knives, and Jotaro pretends to be dead. And so then there proceeds a long scene of Dio being like, and now it's time to be extremely careful.
Yeah.
I like that, though. That was, like, super intense.
Anytime you have to literally grab your own heart is pretty intense.
Fucking A.
With, like, interruptions from Polnareff, who's still on the show, by the way.
Yeah, okay, wait a minute. Okay, I don't remember. What the hell happened there? How did he just come back?
Polnareff was never, like...
He was in the hospital.
No. Polnareff,
they
had split up before Jotaro met up with Dio.
Remember, Polnareff was all, I have to take down Dio.
Oh. Didn't we see him, though, with... He saw Avdol die, right?
Yes. And then Iggy...
No, that was...
Everyone.
No. Okay, God, I'm getting the names mixed up. Who saw Kakuin die?
Joseph.
Okay, that's where I'm confused. So, Polnareff, okay. All right, so yeah, I guess Polnareff was just out and about. I had forgotten. I thought he died.
He had almost died a few episodes ago, but then he kind of just, as of last episode, he kind of just faded I guess for the better, since he was able to catch Dio by surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the show kind of made me forget he was there, actually.
Look, when the final fight's going on, you'd think that the other guys have been dealt with.
Right.
So, and he just sort of pops out of nowhere.
Yeah, he gets Dio in the head, but Dio's just like, huh?
Nope, not enough.
And Jotaro has to resort to, like, stopping his own heart to appear dead.
Mm-hmm.
Which allows him to punch the fucking shit out of Dio.
Which I'm actually still surprised that worked, because I was pretty sure you couldn't hurt him without Hamon.
No, no. Well, basically he was going through the super brain kill. Like,
okay,
just punch his brain into mulch, and it, like, the brain still has to tell the body, hey, you should reform, but if there's no brain.
Okay, I guess that'll work. I mean, they got to figure out, he's got to have a way to win.
Destroy the brain.
Yeah.
It always works.
I was expecting the way to win would be time from the sunrise, like it was with San Viento in part two.
Yeah, but the sun just went down, so that would be a whole lot of running.
So Dio uses the last bit of his stand's power to grab onto he freezes a time so that he can crawl over to a car, and then the car drags him away, which is pretty clever. And then the episode ends because he makes his way back to where Joseph was.
No, you're skipping over the best part. He tries to get into the sewers, but Jotaro pulls out his magical teleportation powers to somehow get into the manhole before Dio. And it's really cool, but again, it's bullshit.
Like, even if he could freeze time for a second, there's no way he'd be able to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that car was going like 50.
Like, he throws the knife, and then he's just like over to an unseen manhole cover, gets in, goes through the sewers to climb up to the other man.
Maybe just Cairo is just a very, just on a tiny planet.
Look, I saw the manga version of that scene where they're walking towards each other. You could see the curvature of the earth in the sidewalk, so maybe it's very small.
It's stylistic.
Anyway, it's Jotaro in the manhole is like the most badass scene in this entire show.
Right.
Because it's like the first time like somebody's completely got Dio cornered and he's like, oh shit.
I think it would be cooler if it was earned. It's just sort of pulled out his ass.
Well, either way, you get to see Dio or Orid in the face.
Yeah.
And it's so satisfying.
So after that, he finds Joseph, and I don't know what he does. I don't know if he sucked his blood or what.
Yeah, he got some of Joseph's blood, so now he's at, like, full power or whatever.
Which turns him into the Joker.
Yeah, this is the first really modern Araki design in JoJo, as far as I can tell. Because you could see a lot of his newer design that you could see, like, in Part 5 sort of visual style. You could see like a future sense of where Araki's art is going.
Extremely buff men wearing the latest fashions?
Yes.
Or made up fashion.
No, yeah, no. They gave him a fashion line.
The fashions of tomorrow. Anyway, that's where our episode ends. Next week is the finale. It's been like a year. The show was good.
Definitely entertaining.
Speaking of really good shows, Hunter x Hunter. Hunter x Hunter, episode 106, Nov and Moral. In this episode, Nov completes sneaking into the mansion and then has a complete fucking breakdown.
Yep.
Because he saw some aura.
I mean, he saw some Royal Guard aura, and that shit fucks you up.
He basically just saw Cthulhu poking around the corner.
Yeah, he's like, nope, don't want none of that.
it's really funny because earlier, like before, like when he first met Gon and Killua, he was just like,
he was giving him shit for it.
You guys ran away from P2. What losers. And then he sees some aura and he's like, I would like to go to the asylum now.
It was a pretty effective scene of showing him like just how dire he thinks the situation is.
Yeah. Like he hadn't met one of the royal guards yet. And so sort of just seeing their end was like, holy crap, I don't want none of this. He's like, I could maybe get away, but if they caught me, all the horrible things in life would happen to me and only me. So, you know.
Do you guys know anything about the royal guards other than Nefer P2?
Nope.
By the way, this was Poof Sora he saw.
Yeah, the only person like anyone's met is P2, and you know,
and P2 he wasn't like meeting was just like, oh fuck, run.
Yeah,
is there a reason, or am I just thinking too much into it? Why he would sense their aura and not the king?
The king is not currently using N.
Oh,
like
because. Yeah, because N is that thing where you extend your aura in like a radius. It's okay. Like if you're playing a, you know, like strategy RPG or whatever, it's, you know, sort of extending it to get rid of the fog of war.
It's basically like anytime anybody in another show is just like, I'm releasing all of my spiritual pressure / chakra / magical power.
And another character's like, I can sense them.
Yeah.
/ hockey /...
whatever.
It's literally in everything, but it's in everything because it's cool when somebody's just like standing there and people are like, fuck, I can literally see the death.
Yeah.
Except in Hunter x Hunter, you can do it the other way around.
Yeah. You can extend your own thing to see other people before they come. So like if he had stepped into that and he had his aura still off, he would be fucked.
And if he didn't have his aura still up, he would just, like, explode.
Yeah.
Because remember, like, all the way back when Wing was just like, by the way, if you you could kill with aura alone.
Yeah. Mm. And, I mean, those guys were those guys are, like, dangerous as shit.
How does he not kill Kamugi, though, if he's spending his aura out like that?
I think the thing is they have it in... like covering everything on the second floor except for that room because they know that Komugi is in there. And so they're like, okay, we're not going to, you know, dump any aura in that one spot.
I should have assumed he would have already thought of that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, on the Palm show, the director has an entire very creepy town in the basement.
Yeah. With sex slaves. That's nice.
That seems to be the case, yeah. This guy's a creep, man. They can't, like, every time you see him, he's, like, licking his lips and stuff.
Yeah. And he looks like some old, like, creepy white dude.
His head is a light bulb.
And he's, like Pence. He looks like he's, like, 5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is the guy who basically secretly runs the country, so.
Yeah. I mean, they needed to keep him around, but... you know, it's still really fucking creepy.
I thought it would have been interesting if he had been a cannibal instead, so that way he could sort of play that off with the ants.
It is funny you mention that, because I had the same thought. I was thinking, I'm not even convinced. I mean, you guys probably know, but like, I kind of was wondering if that was the thing, what was happening here. But it's probably more likely that he's just boning them.
Yeah. Those women are specifically for him. Hmm. Which makes it creepier.
Yeah, it's creepy. Well, I've heard nothing really happens to him, unfortunately.
I can't remember, honestly. I think he winds up getting away.
Yeah, like you would think, like, oh, Palm is going to murder the fuck out of him.
But she doesn't care about him. Like, her job is to get eyes on the king and then get out.
Yeah.
Because she's got that power. Like, once she's seen you once, she basically has that thing with her blood she does, and you know, she can, you know, got that CCTV power.
She can, all she has to do is see them, though. She doesn't have to touch them.
No, she just gotta like peek around the corner and be like, oh, I see them.
I wonder if it would work through like binoculars or something.
Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think I don't think there's any reason it wouldn't. I mean, the problem is, you know, everyone's holed up in that one room on the second floor where everything horrible is. So
I feel like there's got to be some sort of mirror, long-range mirror Nen power that could give you, as long as there's some visible line of sight, you could see it.
That's her power.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Anyway, Morrel is finally going to fight Leol, and he can't do it because Leol has some great taste in music.
Yeah. Morrel's getting a lot of fights. Like, he had Chitu the other day, and now he's got Leol. Like, he's going through the gauntlet before the invasion.
He feels like, of all these characters that have come here, he seems like he's the, like, I don't want to say brute, but, like, he's, like, the muscle of the Hunter organization. Because, you know, we've got the guy who can do the teleporting. He's kind of more, like, espionage and sneaking.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, these other ones that have different utilities. And he's just, like, straight up a fighter.
Yeah, I think he's probably in this group next to Netero, the strongest one. Plus, he's got a really, like, versatile power, so he can do a lot of different stuff with it.
Vaping. It's good.
But apparently unbreakable.
Yeah.
Vaping is unbreakable.
That's the next JoJo part.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you guys have anything else about Hunter Hunter?
That breakdown scene with, what's his name?
Grant George.
Yeah, that was fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, like, I thought that dude was gonna cry, like, any minute.
I was on the seat of my pants just having him run through that mansion.
Yeah, I mean, they, like, I didn't even notice how long that, whole sequence was. Like, when the episode ended, I'm like, wait, that was half an hour? What the shit?
Well, there was also a lot of him, like, sneaking around, too, and, like, placing those portals on the ground.
But the entire time, he was just crapping himself.
Yeah. It's going to make, like, when the fights actually happen later, you know, just rationing up the tension now is just going to make it, I think, all the more satisfying.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's like he was giving, you know, Gon and Killua shit for running, but now he sees it, he's like, I don't want no part of that. And it kind of shows, like, how deep the hole they're in is.
Also, he's, like, worried about Palm, too, because I think Palm is his subordinate.
Apprentice, yeah. Yeah, she's, like, his apprentice or whatever, and she's actually got to get eyes on the king on that second floor. So no matter what, she's got to go up there.
I'd like to notice that I don't think we had a direct showing of Gon or Killua this episode, and Killua's particularly has been out of commission.
We didn't see them last episode either.
Yeah, it's been a couple of episodes, I think.
That is interesting.
Well, I mean, Killua is like dying of blood loss right now, so, you know.
But don't worry, the Octolings are on the case.
Yep.
Anyway, let's talk about our requisite Black Clover suffering.
Please no.
I've stopped watching it.
Black Clover, episode 33, To Help Somebody Someday. In this episode, who cares?
Well, if this show couldn't copy Naruto enough, it certainly tried this episode. We got Mirror Clone No Jutsu.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Apparently, mirror is something you can just put onto a blade and throw at other people.
I didn't realize that was how that worked, but apparently it is. I will say how they get new powers is total fucking bullshit. Like, it just gets written into their, like, big book of spells all randomly in the middle of a fight like that. Come on.
Asta keeps getting powers. Like, I feel like he's getting to too many powers. He's getting them all the time.
Well, I mean, he's got, like, two powers. It's just that one of his powers lets him borrow everyone else's powers.
I don't have any magic. Now let me throw beams around the place.
Seriously. Like, yeah. How is that not bullshit?
It was so poor because it was like, you can't do anything. You don't have any range attacks. Oh, by the way, now you have range attacks.
Sword beam.
Like, I was wondering at the beginning of the episode, like, oh, I wonder if they're going to remember that even exists. It's like, oh, they actually did remember that exists.
It's bullshit, and I don't believe it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just this is the last thing I've got on this because Black Clover, but they end the episode by introducing the big bad, who's this character named Licht, and apparently his deal is that he too has a four-leaf clover grimoire.
And also, Licht means light, and he has light powers, so somebody's extremely proud of themselves for thinking this.
Yeah, who could have seen that coming?
It's trying to be deep by giving a bad guy light powers.
And the Whatever. Good guy, Captain, has darkness powers.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Deepest lore.
Deep.
More like deep hurting.
Deep cutting into my soul. Anyway, ship it in. Naruto Shippuden, episode 213, Lost Bonds. In this episode, bonds. He knows what it's like to lose your bonds.
Yeah.
The heart.
The heart. Could you hit us over the head any harder with this?
They can try.
This is their way of trying to justify it, right?
Yeah.
It's like, we didn't build up their relationships, but we're just going to make you, we're going to force you to believe they have one.
And they also added scenes that never existed in the first place.
Yeah, because it's like, shit, they were never actually friends. How do we remedy this?
Yeah.
Invent scenes from before the show starts that they were already friends.
Yeah. I mean, sort of what makes this even dumber is apparently Kishimoto knew this going in, that, you know, like, they didn't get developed enough, but he apparently got rushed by his editor at the time. Like, I'm not sure if I buy it all that much, but
I totally buy it.
Yeah, probably.
When you don't have the name power to say, no, fuck you, editor, we're doing it my way.
Yeah.
They can basically make you do anything.
I know. It's just one of those things that it's like, ugh. It really hurt it down the line, but you'd think they'd at least, you know, say, hey, maybe we should, you know, do a couple of flashback arcs.
No.
All right.
No, instead, let's have filler with cats.
I mean, it's stupid because this is one of the things that they could have easily fixed, you know, in the anime. It's like they could have gone.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I mean, even like in the first run, because, you know, it was popular enough to get something that would be running continuously. Couldn't they have asked and been like, yeah, okay, we'll take a couple of plans for arcs that you might have done and then throw some filler in there to build that up for you?
You know, I guess maybe they kind of did that with that one filler arc where they all did the, like,
the race thing?
The guy sensei puzzle place.
Well, I mean, like, in the original run, not, like, as a flashback thing. Like, because they had, like, those 2 years worth of, like, horrible flashbacks. And it's like, what, they couldn't have thrown one or two of those filler arcs in between, you know, the Tsunade thing and Sasuke leaving and saying, hey, we're going to build this up a little bit more before, you know, because they did throw one in. But it was just the one, and it didn't really do anything.
Well, they were all bad anyway, so.
Yeah, good point.
Not like it would have helped.
Yeah.
I only kindly barely watched this episode. Did anything happen?
It was all flashback.
Yeah.
It was like a recap episode.
Whoa, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's extremely exciting.
I almost fell asleep. It was so exciting.
I did fall asleep.
I hope they don't put Boruto right up against Shippuden.
Boruto's probably way better.
Well, it's certainly more fun. This is just melancholy, melodrama bullcrap.
Yeah.
You would never have imagined that, like, this supposedly action shonen series could be so, like, slow, plotting, and melodramatic.
I think the reason that Naruto Shippuden was a success, and I think even to some extent continues to be a success with its diehard fans, is purely based, like, on characters. Like, they just, people, like, grew up to a certain extent with these characters and just got to know them really well. And so they love the characters and the world, but the storytelling in this part of the story is just not good. And it's unfortunate, because I think that there is a solid foundation there. And I think, even though I haven't only seen like an episode or two of it, like Boruto to me kind of proves that. It's like, if you take these characters and you put them in a better situation with more realistic characterization, they actually can be a pretty entertaining show. Right now, it's just like, we don't buy into the motivations of these characters, and this is all just really kind of plotting. It's very, like you said, it's just very slow. There's no excitement, there's no fun.
Where is the fun? It's been replaced by people talking about broken bonds.
And, like, genocide.
And not even the fun kind. Not that there is a fun kind, but you're not.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? There's plenty of fun. I'm not even going to go there.
God.
Does anybody else have anything about Toonami this week?
Space Dandy ended.
It did.
It was cool.
Dandy once again was like, nah, I'm not going to be fucking God. Fuck that.
And now he likes thighs instead of butts. He's progressively getting lower on the... Like, he's going to be a footman at the end of the next redo.
By the fourth rerun, he's drawing DeviantArt. His entire DeviantArt profile is just bottoms of feet.
Yeah.
But where do you go after that? Do you just, like, all right, back to the top of the head? Is, like, a hair fetish?
Toe-sucking.
Yeah. I'm sure there's plenty of fetishes left.
Let me go to DeviantArt and see what I can find.
But, like, man, this show is so consistently good.
Yeah.
And, like, this particular episode... The animation was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I had forgotten just how good it looked. It just looked so good.
Well, I don't think Space Dandy was that super consistently good. I mean, it dragged a little bit during the middle of the second season.
I mean, just a little bit, though.
It had a couple of episodes that weren't like great story-wise, but I think animation-wise, the series is on point all the way through. That's right. And this final episode is just like Sakuga from beginning to end. It's just so good looking.
B going complete end of Evangelion.
I also like, too, that in the final custom credits at the end of the series shows like every character and every like major location. Even showed like the 2D universe and everything.
I didn't actually watch the episode again, so I forgot. Anyway, that'll be about it for episode 115. Thank you, B-Dubs.
Okay.
Thank you, C. Kohler.
No problem.
Thank you, Reggie Ruler.
Pleasure to be here.
We'll see you guys next week for a review and ranking of Stardust Crusaders. Good night, everyone. Later.